Father, we're thankful that we can come and think about your love for us. We're grateful for all that you've done in Christ. Thank you that you have delivered us, Lord, from our sin. Thank you that you are cleansing us and you have enabled us, Father, to be with you, to be with our Lord Jesus for all eternity. We thank you, Lord God, that because you live, we can live. Face our tomorrows on this earth. Father, we don't know what lies ahead, but we know that you know. And we know that our times are in your hand. And we know that you have loved us with an everlasting love. And so we find our rest, our peace, our joy in you. Thank you for giving us all that you have and to give us, Lord, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly. Your word tells us, Lord, thank you that because Jesus is our shepherd, we are not deficient. Father, there are times in our lives when we feel that way, when we feel like we don't have enough, when we feel like we're inadequate. But thank you, Lord God, that you're teaching us not to rely on our feelings. Thank you for making us a people who live by faith. Faith in you, faith in what you have done, faith in what you have promised because of the resurrection. Father, Jesus got up from the grave, and because he got up, kept his promise, all your promises are yes in Christ Jesus. So, Lord, thank you for holding on to us, even in times when we attempt to let go. Lord, we're thankful that you're faithful. Thank you for your faithfulness. Help us to learn to be faithful to you. Lord, we pray that you would guide us during this time. Teach us of yourself. Teach us of your ways. Teach us how to live as children of God. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Think about his love today. Amen. Amen. His love is faithful. He is good. And he is always good, regardless of the circumstances of our lives. God is good. I think sometimes we define the goodness of God on the basis of whether good things are happening in our lives. God's goodness is all the time. Circumstances are going to come, but he is good all the time. Amen. Amen. On last Wednesday, I invited the Wednesday group to join with me, and I'm inviting the entire church to join with me and during this season of Lent, and really for the rest of our days on this earth together as the Agape Bible Fellowship Church. And not only that, but as people of God, people who have been called to serve as ambassadors for Christ on this earth, I am inviting you all to join me in reaching one for Christ. Reaching one for Christ. If you're here in the sanctuary, you will see posted in the vestibule some posters that ask the question, who's your one? Who's your one? And what that is about, it is about us thinking about who the Lord is putting on our mind, on our hearts, to pray about people that don't know Christ, people who may not be thinking about God, people who are out there, disconnected from the Lord. We're thinking about them, and we're going to commit to pray for them. I think everyone in here has a circle of influence. People that you know, people that you work with, people in your family, everybody has someone, some group of people. And so all we're doing is real simple, nothing complicated, it's not complex, it's not rocket science. You don't have to be a great theologian to get involved, you just have to be willing to be obedient to the Lord. And I say that word obedience from Scripture because it is an act of obedience. Sometimes I think we think that some things are optional and therefore we don't act on them. But making disciples and reaching out to people, we still have to choose. But it's something that the Lord has given us the privilege and responsibility and opportunity to be engaged in, and that is reaching people for Christ. And so I want to challenge you, I want to encourage you not to miss it in your life, to be thinking about someone other than yourself and your regular group of people who may already know Christ. So we want each one to think about reaching one. One person, is there somebody in your life that you know they don't know Christ? Is there someone that you're unsure about whether they are going to heaven or not, whether they are going to be with the Lord or not? Is there someone in your life that you say, "Yeah, Lord, I really want to see that person come to know Christ. I know they don't know you. I know they're not living for you. They may talk some God language and whatnot. They may even go to church, but they really don't know Christ as Lord and Savior." So each one, think about reaching someone. So what are we going to do? We're going to pray. We're going to pray for that person that they come to know Christ and that they hear what he's saying to them at this point in their lives. We have a 30-day prayer guide for those of you who want to get involved. And I don't want you to take it unless you're going to really commit to doing it, because I don't want it to collect dust. So if you want to get involved, you can take a prayer guide and pray for 30 days during the season of Lent for someone who doesn't know Christ. We have a bookmark here that has some scriptures in it for you. We also have a card that has some reminders on there about praying and some things to say to the person as well. And we want you to be equipped to be able to have some God conversations with people. And I know there are more than a few people in our midst who already know how to share Christ or to have conversations with the Lord. And most of us have been around the Bible long enough, you've been in church long enough, you have a testimony, God has brought you from somewhere. He's done something in your life. And all we're doing is making ourselves available to the Lord to say, "Lord, use me to help somebody to be thinking about you," because he sure is. When we talk about thinking about his love, John 3:16 says, "God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life." But he uses us. God doesn't zap people from heaven. He doesn't write messages in the sky. We are his message. We are his witnesses in the world. And so it's on my heart, you know, for myself to seek to reach one. I've already chosen my person. I've been working on that person in prayer. And I'm praying that you will choose someone and get on board. And let's be obedient to what the Lord has called us to do, and that is to make disciples for Jesus Christ. This is a first step. It's more than just inviting people to Christ and that person giving their life to Christ. We have to help people to grow in the Lord, and that's what we want to do. And we want to invite that person, that one person, invite them for Easter service. Easter is April 9th. You know, if they're not in church, invite them to come and to be involved and be engaged. But don't wait until then to start praying for them and talking with them and just seeing what the Holy Spirit will do. We share Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, and we leave the results to God. That's what we're called to do. We can be good church men and good church women. We can come here Sunday after Sunday. But the question that is ringing in my mind and in my heart is, are we being obedient to the Lord when we leave out of this place? Are we being obedient in our walk with him and living as children of God? And are we being obedient in sharing Christ with others? Because when we stand before him, there's a great reward for those who are soul winners. And you can be a soul winner and see people come to Christ. So if you want to get on board with me, let me know. And let me know that you are. You can send me an email. You know my email. I say it every Sunday. tbank4323@gmail.com. Send me an email. Let me know you're on board. If you're not here, if you are here, you can tell me verbally. Because I'm praying for you. I'm praying for the church. I'm praying that we will really get engaged. We're just having the mind to say the Lord has left me here for a purpose. He can take us home and be with him. It's better to be with him than to be here on this earth. That's what the scripture says. So why are we here? Just to go to work and make money and pay our bills and have fun doing the things we do? Well, there's an eternal cause, an eternal purpose for us being here. That's to help others to come to know Christ. So I plead with you to get on board with me, 2 or 3 or 4 or 5. It doesn't take many, but everybody has the opportunity to be obedient to the Lord. Amen? Amen. Amen. That's my little infomercial here before we begin our message today. So thank you for listening in. And again, I will be praying for us to get on board and just see what God is going to do. Give them a chance, you know, to work in your life. Don't be afraid. God is able. We stand and we live by faith. Amen. Turn with me, if you will, to the gospel according to John once again. The gospel according to John, chapter 6. John chapter 6. And let me read beginning at verse 15. So Jesus, perceiving that they were intending to come and take him by force to make him king, withdrew again to the mountain by himself alone. Now when evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, and after getting into the boat, they started to cross the sea to Capernaum. It had already become dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea began to be stirred up because a strong wind was blowing. Then, when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near to the boat, and they were frightened. But he said to them, "It is I. Do not be afraid." So they were willing to receive him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land to which they were going. Amen. Amen. We're talking about being on mission with Jesus. In order to be on mission with him, there's some things we have to know really about him. And there's some things he has to do in our lives in order for us to have the confidence to be on mission with him. Today, we begin a couple of messages on being on mission with Jesus through the storms of life. Through the storms of life. Oswald Chalmers says, faith for my deliverance is not faith in God. Faith for my deliverance is not faith in God. Faith means whether I am visibly delivered or not. Listen. Whether I am visibly delivered or not, I will stick to my belief that God is love. There are some things only learned in a fiery furnace. Some things we can learn only in the fiery furnace. Some growth that can take place in our life can only take place if God sends us through some things. We want to have confidence that Jesus is with us when we face the storms of life. That's my prayer. That's my confidence, the type of confidence that I want to have and that I want us to have. And Jesus is with us when we go through the storms of life. Because if we don't, we'll never be his witnesses. We'll never stand strong in him. We'll always be looking for him to deliver us and never being able to rest when he does it. He wants us to be there. Well, how does Jesus grow our faith? Because we're talking about growing in our faith, growing in our confidence in him. How does he grow our faith so that we can have confidence in him when he sends us out on mission to be with him? Well, a couple of things for today. We read verse 15, and we'll remember last week, John leaves us the account of Jesus multiplying the fish and the bread to feed literally thousands of people, thousands of folk. And as a result of that, verse 15 tells us that the people wanted to make him king, force him to be king, try to force him to establish a kingdom on this earth. So they didn't have an understanding of really the kingdom of God and what Jesus was about in terms of his kingdom. Because his kingdom was, yes, it was a kingdom to come. It was a kingdom that started here, but it was in us first. And he's not going to establish his earthly kingdom until he comes back again. But the people then, just like us today, when we see miracles happening like this, you know, we want Jesus to be king because we want him to establish those things here on this earth right now. Well, the Bible tells us in verse 15 that Jesus, he saw that, he understood that, and he knew it was a time, so he withdrew to the mountain by himself alone. His disciples were there with him, but it tells us that he sent them out ahead of him to cross the sea, and he went up into the mountain to pray. Well, the first thing we want to understand about Jesus growing us up in our faith and the lesson that we can learn from this passage is that Jesus grows our faith in him by sending us through difficult life experiences. Jesus grows us up whether we like it or not, and most times, if you like me, we don't like it. Jesus grows our faith in him. He prepares us to be on mission with him by sending us through difficult life experiences. We would like it some other way, wouldn't we? We would like him to just speak it and it's done. But it doesn't work that way. Jesus grows our faith in him by sending us through difficult experiences in our lives. Jesus sent the disciples into the darkness and into the impending storm. And I want to say, on purpose. He did it on purpose. It was evening time, and evening time for the Jewish people then was about 6 o'clock in the evening. So evening had come, he had dismissed the crowd, and he sent them out, and he goes up into the mountain to pray. Mark and Matthew, which are parallel accounts of the passage that we read today, Mark and Matthew point out that the disciples went down to the boat to cross the sea again because Jesus told them to go ahead without him. He said, I'm not going with you. I want you to go on ahead of me. He dismissed the crowd. Now, we want to keep in mind that Jesus knew that the storm would come, right? He was fully aware that a storm was coming, yet he sent them out into that storm. And he also knew that they wouldn't be able to maneuver their way through the wind-tossed sea. Jesus understood all of this, but he sent them out ahead of him. We may wonder, as I wonder, why not just have them wait? If he knew the storm was coming, if he knew that they wouldn't be able to handle it, why not just have them wait with him until morning, until the storm blew over? Well, Jesus had a purpose, and he always has a purpose. From our side, it looks like things are happening by chance. From our perspective, it looks like stuff just comes up. And it does just come up to us. It does just drop in our lives to us. But never to Jesus. Never to our God. He always knows what's coming ahead of us. And we wonder too. Well, why not just give us the ability to go around that, if I may say it like that, instead of having to go through it. Well, Jesus had a purpose. And just like he had a purpose with the loaves and the fish, something that was beyond their ability to fix, right? The immediate circumstance that Jesus sent them into served as a spiritual, graduate level course to teach his disciples about himself, and to teach them that with him they could navigate the treacherous waters of life. Jesus had a purpose in sending them out there to know him and to teach them that with him they could navigate through the treacherous waters of life. And I have to say this at this point, that as a life lesson, knowing Jesus doesn't mean that we are protected from the pain of this life, right? But we know that, right? Knowing Jesus doesn't mean that we are protected, insulated, nor isolated from the pain of this life. We want to be, and sometimes I think we who teach the word of God, we may convey that to people, but that's erroneous teaching. We are not protected from the pains, the difficulties, and the struggles, the sicknesses, the illnesses of this life. Difficult circumstances are part of the fabric of this life, right? Everyone in here has had some difficult times. Everyone in here experiences pain, and some type of suffering, some type of heartache. But one thing I think that the Lord wants us to have in our minds, if we're really going to be on mission with him and not allow the difficult circumstances of life to throw us for a loop and to cause us to turn away from God instead of turning to him, he wants us to understand that these difficult experiences in life are tools. They are tools in the master's hand. In the master's hand. Because nothing comes into your life and my life without Jesus having control of it. Can we get that picture of Christ? Whatever it is that's going on in your life, it's not just you. You're not in control of it. The doctors, the lawyers, the politicians, they're not the ones who are ultimately in control. God is ultimately in control of the big stuff and the small stuff. These difficult things that we experience are tools in the master's hand that he uses to shape our lives for his glory and service to others. Because if we're going to be ambassadors, if we're going to be able to tell people about the true and living God and about Jesus, we got to know something about him, right? And we learn about him. True knowledge is experiential. We learn about him as he sent the disciples out there into that storm, so too does he send us out there. Through the pains of life, the difficulties of life, we can come to know Jesus better. And remember, eternal life is knowing him. It's knowing him. It's not everything being fixed in our lives. It's not him taking away all the troubles of life. No, Jesus said in John 17:3, Father, I'm praying for them. I'm praying that they would know what eternal life really is about. And eternal life is knowing you, the only true God, in Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. We can grow in knowing him in these difficult experiences if we understand that they're tools in the hand of our loving master. And we can be assured deep within our souls that there's nothing greater than he. Right? Nothing greater than he. And we can know that he is able to meet our every need. That's what he wanted the disciples to know, because they were going to face some difficult times. All of them, historians tell us, except for the Apostle John, died a martyr's death. All of them faced the challenges of their culture. And yet, he kept them there to be his witnesses, to tell people about himself. They had to know him. They had to have that confidence in him. They had to know that knowing him and being his disciple doesn't mean that we are protected from the pains, the difficulties, the struggles of this life. We can't be witnesses of Jesus if we don't have any substance from our own life experiences to tell about. Don't tell people if you know Jesus that he's going to fix all your problems. Don't tell people that, because that's not true. That's not true. He's able to, but he doesn't fix everything in our life. He helps us as we go through these things. He doesn't take them all away. Spiritual growth doesn't happen by chance. Jesus knew that. That's the way he designed life. That, you know, life is not just a disconnected series of events that are taking place. No, we get to where the Lord is taking us through him having a designed plan to get us where he wants us to go. And I'm not just talking about physical, but I'm talking about our spiritual growth, our spiritual maturity. Spiritual growth doesn't happen by chance. It happens in the crucible of life. It happens when the heat gets turned up. When the heat is turned up on us, we can be assured that God is going to use the circumstances to grow us up as children of God if we submit to his will. So, Lord, why am I going through all of this? Lord, what's happening in my life? Lord, why aren't you moving this out of my life right now? Well, my experience is that the Lord doesn't always answer that question. Most times he doesn't. But during these times, we can grow in our knowledge of him when we live by faith in him through those dark and difficult times in our lives. Not just reading the Bible, we read the Bible, we read about him in the Bible, and read and study the Bible, the Word of God. We must do that. Because if we don't, we never grow. And if we're not doing that, then we need to check ourselves. If you have no desire to get in the Word of God, then there's something wrong with your life. I'll say it straight out. There's something wrong. If you have no desire to read the Word and no desire to pray, and you don't do that, then you need to check yourself to see if you're in the faith. Because the Bible says when we come to Christ, the seed of God is in us, and we have a desire for. And that desire is demonstrated through our yearning for him, and we yearn for him through his word and through prayer. He teaches us about himself. So we must read the word. But just reading the word, God doesn't get us to where he wants us to go just by reading the word. The goal of reading and studying is not, as I've said many times, the mere accumulation of information. No, the end goal is knowing and loving Jesus in the daily grind of life. Right where you are right now. Loving God in the daily stuff that we have to go through. And trusting him. And resting in him. In the good times. Which we do quite naturally. But also in the bad times. Which we can struggle with. Our text informed us that Jesus sent the disciples out without him to get into the boat and cross the sea. And maybe I'm saying it again, but when we are experiencing the dark times, painful times, difficult times in our lives, doesn't it feel like Jesus is not with us? Doesn't it feel like even we may ask a question like Jesus when he was on the cross, and in that moment of great intensity when the Father, as it said, turned his face away and he felt the full brunt of the sins of the world on him in that separation from the Father. The Father turned his face. Feels like, my God, why have you forsaken? Feels like that. But it is especially during these times that we need to trust the truth. What truth? What the Word of God says. What it says about him. What it says about what he thinks about us. What it says about what he's done for us. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Never. No, never alone. Never, never alone. And he said, yes indeed. I sent you out there. I did that. I sent the disciples out there into the sea. I knew what was coming up. I knew they were going to be afraid. I knew that storm was going to make them feel like they were going to die. But I did that. But I also said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Don't panic. Don't believe the lie of the enemy that God has left you alone. Don't rely on your feelings, because your feelings are finicky. They take us up and down on a roller coaster. God sent me here. Nothing passed or comes into our life that hasn't first passed through his hand. Absolutely nothing. You think about Job. I didn't put Job in my notes, but think about it. all that stuff that Job had to go through, lost his whole family, all his kids. Wife was telling them to just give God the high hand. Turn your back on him. The Lord was right there. He said, I allowed that to happen. That was my doing. I'm with him. I am there with him. Our life lesson here is this, that Jesus has designed a personal learning plan for our lives. A personal learning plan has your name on it. You know, in school, you create learning plans, you know, for the class. But you also may have some students that you got to get a little bit more personal with them, because they got some areas where they need a little bit of extra help. And so you get a personal learning plan for them. Jesus, it's true, we're special needs people too, right? Yes, sir. Yeah, we're special needs. We have some special spiritual needs. And our Lord has designed, as sure as we're here, he has designed a personal learning plan for our lives that will glorify him and that will grow us up and that will make us effective ambassadors for him. That's how he is. We got to start seeing him that way. We got to start stop blaming it on other folk and giving the devil credit. And no, this came through the hand of my God. Yeah, he allowed the devil to do some things, but it still came through God's hand, right? It still came through him. Don't reject what he's doing in your life. The good and the bad, he uses them both. Even the self-inflicted wounds he uses. We got some stuff going on that the Lord has allowed us to go into. Isn't it interesting? He just let us go and ride along, and we decide to do something stupid and sin against him. Have you ever noticed that the Lord doesn't just take you by the collar and pull you back? You ever noticed that? He warns us. The Bible says he always makes a way of escape. But he doesn't make us take that way. That's the difference. He uses those. The pains that come through relationships that we have, the Lord sends us out there. He uses them. The disappointments. We will wonder, my friend, why these things are happening. But knowing who is working can help to give us the right spiritual perspective. That's what we have to have. The why, we don't always know. Have you been able to figure out why stuff has happened in your life, the things that, you know, brought you a lot of pain and heartache? Have you been able to figure all that out? I have. We don't know the why. But the who, we can always know. We can always know that God has it in his hands. We can always know that he's always in charge. We can know. And what we can know is that he is working through the big and the little stuff in our lives. Can't always answer the question why. I remember, and I'll insert this here, I remember And I can see sometimes, I reflect back on it, and I can see it years ago. 10 years old, I think I told you wrong before, 10 years old, my dad passed. Think about it. A young boy approaching teenage years, and your dad passes. And I couldn't understand that. I couldn't understand that. And I can see myself now, 4735 West Washington Boulevard, in Chicago, where we live. And my mother had sent me to the store during that time. I stood outside that room, outside the door of my house, and before I started taking those steps down to the store, I cried out to God. I said, "Lord, why?" I said, "Why? Why?" And the Lord never really answered me. But as I stand here today, one thing I've learned, I know who. I know that even that time, it was in his hand. And I know that he supplemented and he helped me and he helped my brothers and my sisters and my mom. And he helped us to make it through. I knew who. I didn't know why. I still don't know why. But I know God is good. We can always know the who. We can always know our loving Father doesn't waste any time. He doesn't waste any time. He doesn't waste any painful experiences that you and I have. He's not that type of God. He doesn't let stuff come in your life and does nothing with it. No, it's something. The problem is not with him, the problem is with us. Because we can reject it, we don't always get it, we become hardened in heart, just like our text later will tell us, and we don't listen. We see through our natural mind and not through but with the mind of Christ. But he is always wanting to use every little thing in our lives to grow us into the image of Christ and to grow us in knowing him, trusting him, and being his ambassador and knowing his own. Maybe you're in a situation right now, and maybe the Lord has said, "I'm taking the training wheels off." I have a story in here about my privilege that I had about being able to teach my children, and more than a few of us may have done, teach them how to ride their bikes, right? I had the privilege of teaching my son and daughter and two of my grandboys how to ride bikes. What an exciting experience. And what a challenging experience. Because they approach it, they don't think they can, they're afraid. Today, you know, they're proficient. But they weren't then. They did not know how to do life on a bicycle. They couldn't do that. They could use training wheels. Yeah, but they were afraid. They were comfortable on those training wheels. They wanted to stay on those training wheels. Just like we want to stay on the training wheels of life, right? Yeah, God, keep it easy for me. Lord, don't send me into those difficult times. Lord, just take me, let me circumvent that one, Lord. Lord, don't bring that one into my life. Lord, I'll go through this. I'll ride that one, but Lord, not that one. No, they were very comfortable. But I said, no, it's time. It's time you learn how to ride. So I took off one side of the training wheel. take him along, let him go a little bit, let go a little bit. You know, they wobble, but they got better. They got better, but I walked along with them all along the way. Then after a while, they start getting bigger and whatnot. I said, it's time to take off this other one too. Hey, you're too big not to be riding this bike. It's time. So I took the other side off, and I walked alongside of them, and I let go, and I stand still. Like I wasn't there, but I was there. And I let them ride along. Doesn't God do that with us? Yeah, he takes off one training wheel. Then he takes off the other one. Then he lets us go as though he's not there. But he's there all the time. He's there all the time. Now they fall down when I took them off, right? They get all scratched up, bruised up. They start crying and whatnot. I get them up, get them bandaged up if need be. But then it's time to get back at it. Time to get back out there. Let's go. Until they finally got it. They were finally became proficient at riding a two-wheeler. And they're happy about it today. Well, Jesus does the same thing to us, my friends. I declare that he does. He does. He does. He walks along with us through life. And sometimes it feels like he lets us go. But he comes and he holds us up. And he picks us up when we fall down. Because we get bruised. We get bruised in life. But he's prone to take the training wheels off. He wants us to understand, like he wanted the disciples to understand. We'll talk about later that he's with us, and he never leaves us, and he never forsakes us. He sent them out into the storm because he wanted to teach them that, look, I'm going to be with you. Isaiah 41:10 said this. Isaiah 41:10 said, do not fear. The Lord was talking to his people, Israel, and he speaks to us today as we sit here today. And as we sit in whatever circumstance the Lord has sent us into, wherever you are, he's saying this to you. Do not fear. Do not fear. Why not? For I am with you. Yeah, I've taken off the training wheels, but I'm with you. Then do not anxiously look about you. For I am your God. That's what we'll look at. And that's what the disciples needed to see, and that's what we need to see, that Jesus is our God. And he is with us in the pain, the difficult experiences in life. And knowing that helps us to be able to keep going and to be his witnesses. And he said to them, finally, I will strengthen you. I will strengthen you. You need some strength today? Jesus says, I'm with you. You don't feel like he is? By faith, you believe it. Well, how is that? The Bible says it. The Word of God says it. The Spirit of God in you assures us of it, that he is with us and he will strengthen us. I'm a living witness. He said, I will strengthen you. Surely. Surely. Be assured of it, that I will help you. Surely. I will uphold you with my righteous, right hand. Amen. Why don't you pray? Lord God, we stop here and say thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you hold us up. Lord, we have fallen down in life, and we may be down now, and for sure we'll have some time when we'll fall down in the future, but we thank you for your promise, Lord, that you are our God, and you strengthen us. You uphold us with your righteous right hand. Lord, won't you help us to have that picture of you? You walking alongside of us in life. You being with us in life. Help us, Lord, not to rely on our feelings. Our feelings may tell us that you've abandoned us. Lord, help us to get to the point that we just reject that lie. Help us to rest in the light of your presence with us. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters. I don't know where they are, but you certainly do. I pray that they would be strengthened. Their lives would be lifted up. Their minds would be settled, confident in you, in the fact that you are with them, that you are upholding them, that you will strengthen them with your righteous right hand. Lord, keep them from listening to the voice of the enemy. Keep them, Lord, from listening to the even themselves, ways that they have built up maybe some negative thinking in their minds that says, God is not with me because I'm going through this. Lord, would you flip our thinking? Be able to say that because I'm going through this, I know that God is with me. Because he wouldn't send me out here all by myself. Thank you, Lord, for your great presence. Thank you for your great power. Thank you for your love. I pray for those, Lord, who are down and out and feel like, Lord, you're not with them. Remind them whatever you need to do. Do that, Lord. Remind them of your presence. Lord, for those who don't know you, I pray that they would accept the fact that they need you. Some trying to do life all by themselves. Do it without you. Help them, Lord, to come to grips with the fact that they need you in life. That you created them for yourself. And thank you that you're a patient God. And they turn and say, I believe in Jesus Christ. Died on that cross for my sin. I believe that he got up from the grave. I believe that I belong to him. I thank him. Father, for those who are disconnected from the body of Christ, your church, Lord, I pray that they will see the need to make that connection. That through your church, Lord, you give us support that we need. God, we thank you. We love you today. We give you praise. In Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. If you're here today, there's never been a time when you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. You can pray a simple prayer and say, I accept Christ. I believe that he has died, the Son, and he died for my sin. And I want to receive him into my life. I repent of my rejection of him, and I accept him as Lord and Savior of my life. You can pray that prayer to him, and the Bible promises that he'll come into your life. Again, if you're without a church family and you want to make you know, God made fellowship, the church home. You can let me know of your decision either way. So let me know. Send me an email at tbanks4323@gmail.com. tbanks4323@gmail.com. Amen. Amen. Every first Sunday, we take part in what is traditionally called the Lord's Supper. The Bible says, the Lord said, do this in remembrance of me. And so we do this not just as a ritual in the church. It is a ritual that we do, but it's not just that. It's not just something that we're doing. We're doing it to remember the death of Jesus Christ, that God the Son came in the flesh, and in the flesh, he suffered on the cross. And he suffered on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. He died so that we might be forgiven. He took our place. He was the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And just like the death angel passed over those who put the blood on the doorpost in Israel, so too does God pass over death, does death pass over those who have put their trust and faith in Jesus Christ. That's the symbolism behind what we do. So it's an important ritual that we do. We do it to remember him, to give thanks to him, and to honor as a memorial what he has done. There's nothing saving about a wafer of juice. It's a regular wafer. It's regular juice. There's nothing salvific about the elements. It's him, Jesus Christ, and what he's done. So we think about him. We think about his love. And we think about his goodness that he demonstrated on the cross. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 reads as thus, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. Lord, we're grateful for your death, Jesus. We're thankful for this time that we can come to remember your death. Lord, everything in our lives as your followers is founded on your death, your resurrection. And so we come to do this in remembrance of you. Lord, we remember that you took on the punishment for our sins. You died so that we would not have to die a spiritual death, separated from our Father for all eternity. We thank you, Lord, that your promise is true. Thank you that you have secured eternal life. And so when we eat this bread and we drink of this cup in remembrance of you, Jesus, help us to recall your great love for us. And help us, Lord, even as we leave this place and go out determined with the help of the Holy Spirit to love you with all our heart, mind, and soul. Amen. The Bible tells us that Jesus was gathered with his disciples on the night in which he was betrayed. And he took bread and broke it. And he said, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let us eat together in remembrance of him. The Bible says in the same way he took the cup, he said, this cup is my blood, the new covenant, the which is being shed for you. Do this as often as you do it in remembrance of him. Of me. Let us drink together in remembrance of him. The Bible says that afterwards it's unto him. They were the